Say that you're out here tonight for McLuhan NESP with Bob Dobbs. And just a little pitch for the festival. The festival pass is $25, but tonight it's $12.50 for all of you if you haven't signed up yet, or if you'd just like to give a donation, that'd be great. You can visit with one of my volunteers back there. And if you haven't yet visited the site, McLuhanFestival.com, please visit and sign up for the daily email updates. Tom Sokolowski sends something out each day on the festival telling you what's going on that day and anything new that's happening that hasn't been updated on the website yet. So I'll pass on to Bob now and have fun. All right, thanks.
Thank you, Francesco. Good evening, good day, because this event is under surveillance all over the planet, so for some people it's a morning, wherever that is. This environment we're in was made possible by the forces explained by Marshall McLuhan. The technological environment explains how we get to this state, 2004. The content of this environment is responsible to a person named Giorgio Gomelsky. Anybody in the audience ever heard of Giorgio Gomelsky?
Nope.
This is loud enough, right? Perfect like this?
Yeah.
Giorgio Gomelsky was born in Soviet Georgia, 1934. He's presently living on West 24th Street in Manhattan. Every musical event from Charlie Parker, underground cinema in the 50s, Hard Day's Night, the script for that, The Rolling Stones, Why Mick Jagger Goes Like This. Check the coffee table book, came out over last year by the Rolling Stones, talking about themselves. Check page 48, where Giorgio has three pages explaining where this came from. You know, Mick Jagger always goes like this. Giorgio then created the Yardbirds, helped Michelangelo Antonioni do blow up, because the Parisians and Romans thought London was a swamp in the early 60s and they didn't understand what was going on, so they called Giorgio to find out, because he'd been there in the 50s as part of the New Realist world, cinema world, underground film. He went on to first When the Yardbirds, when he brought over the Yardbirds in 65, they met Frank Zappa before anybody knew who Frank Zappa was. He brought Frank back to London in the second trip, did the famous concert at the London with the London Symphony. He brought in Captain Bieber. He created all that movement that's around Frick and those guys. What's the term for those guys in the late 60s, early 70s in Paris? Robert Frick and Fripp. And anybody know what that movement's called? You know, Gong? Too far back? Anyway, so he did all the music in there. Then he went to New York, and he did not start the punk scene. I started that. That's another story. But the interesting thing is that the punk scene evolved into his club, the Green Door. So all those musicians at the Kitchen and that came out of George Gomelski. Read the book Rock Till You Drop by John Strasbaugh, a New York journalist. It's an amazing story. The John Birchers, they've always said in the 1670s that rock and roll was a communist conspiracy. If they knew about Giorgio coming out of Georgia in the during World War II as a young kid because his father got on the bad side of Stalin, they would realize that, yes, rock and roll and pop culture was a communist conspiracy because Giorgio is the guy behind it. So it's not a well-known story. Only Bill Wyman apologized to the world and apologized to Bill Wyman, to Giorgio for the fact that Brian Jones got Andrew Lou Goldman while George had gone back to Switzerland for his father's death, funeral and all that. And when he came back, Brian Jones brought in Andrew Lou Goldman, and the Stones were out of his control or management. So Bill Wyman was the only Stone in his book to apologize to Giorgio. It is an amazing story, and it's typical of my life. I always get to the bottom of things. When I met Giorgio, this all unfolded. I didn't know about him until a few years ago. But I was thinking tonight, the form is explained by Marshall McLuhan, and the content, in a way, is explained as a hidden environment by Giorgio Gomelski. So with that said, let's look at what we got here. I'm going to show you some quotes from McLuhan, mostly written in the 60s. So we begin with this one. Okay, I'm not going to say where they're all from, but this one up there, the longest, comes from a book in 1969 called Counterblast. The content of writing is speech, but the content of speech is mental dance, nonverbal ESP. Next. I'll just go like this when you do it. It's print, so I'll give the oral compliment to it. The extremely mobile individual consciousness of the print-oriented man now reverses into the tribal inertia of multi-consciousness. That was written around the time Tim Leary was learning from McLuhan how to come up with a slogan. Thanks to his conversations with McLuhan, which is spelled out in flashbacks, he came up with the phrase tune in, turn on, drop out. But Marshall was already writing this kind of stuff. If I start back here, it's really clear. I don't need to go like that. Okay. Next. The new cult of ESP is a natural adjunct to telecommunications. When you put your nervous system outside as a world environment, ESP would seem to be rather pluribel. Pluribel probably refers to Anne Olivia Pluribel in Finnegan's Wake, the female principal. Next. Now, this is an excerpt from Playboy magazine, and McLuhan makes this statement. Electricity makes possible, and not in the distant future either, an amplification of human consciousness on a world scale without any verbalization at all. The interrogator, are you talking about global telepathy? Precisely. Already, computers offer the potential of instantaneous translation of any code or language into any other code or language. If a data feedback is possible through the computer, why not a feed forward of thought whereby a world consciousness links into a world computer? This is from another book. It's not a continuation of the Playboy interview. Am I reading it too fast or too slow?
It's good.
Good. The present electric ESP age of multiple interfaces finds no problems in metamorphosis or transubstantiation, such as baffled ABCDE-minded culture of the 16th century and after. The cavemen of Madison Avenue have begun to get sensitive to the ESP power of names to shape perception and to control energies. In the same way, the filling in of the gap between the old biological environment of our bodies and the new electric environment of extended nervous system automatically evokes the world of ESP and LSD. Nope. McLuhan wrote a review of Burroughs' Naked Lunch in the Nova Express in Nation magazine in December of 64, and he talks about how Burroughs is getting pretty close to Finnegan's Wake. But he says in there that biology ended, biology disappeared as an environment in the 19th century. So that means we were cyborgs from that point on. So he's talking about the old biological environment. This is a reference to the same point. When a man-made environment circumvents the entire planet, moon, and galaxy, circumvents the galaxy, think of that. There is no alternative to total knowledge programming of all human enterprise. I was on an interview, interviewed on TV in New York recently, and it was explained to the person that the stated age of the universe, our universe is 14 billion years. Over the last 112-month periods, or annums, so over the last 100 years, our brain and our perception has lived at least a trillion years. We are older than the universe. So that's, you understand he's implying that. It circumvents the planet, moon, and galaxy. If Teilhard de Chardin says that the electric environment came in with the telegraph is a new biological event, think of that. You've moved into a new sea. McLuhan used to say that we were the first to burst into that silent sea, meaning him and Ted Carpenter, and they're quoting the Ancient Mariner. This is the extent of the ramifications. And, you know, what's his name? Carl Pagan. Billions and billions and billions and millions. That becomes an art form, a cliche problem in the 70s because the galaxy is obsolete. Next. Any form of imbalance proves fatal at electric speeds, with the superpowers released by the new technological resources representing the full spectrum of the human senses and faculties. Can you hear this, Globe?
Bits, I'm afraid.
Good. Survival now would seem to depend upon the extension of consciousness itself as an environment. Now, what the heck is consciousness? Next. This extension of consciousness has already begun with the computer and has been anticipated in our obsession with ESP and occult awareness. That doesn't tell us too much. Next. ESP, Glow, is old hat when effects precede causes. The patterns of formerly hidden processes now begin to obtrude on every hand. McLuhan used to talk about the effects preceding the causes. We have a later quote that he amplifies that, but science dealt with causes and effects and the dialectic between them. But look at this. Effects precede causes. He said, we don't need a participatory democracy. We need an anticipatory democracy. And then under government, he says, under a newspaper, he says, government by news release. So programming the environment, the James Bond world, he said in the 60s, that's because they understood the effects precede the causes. You can't put something out and see if it works. You have to know the effects before you even implement something. So that's why McLuhan said, there's been very little invention in the 20th century. The great age of invention was the 19th century because we had to release invention slowly, at least after World War II, because the effects were not manageable unless you really tried to get a handle on them. Prescience, prophetic vision, and artistic awareness are no longer needed. Now, look at that. But prescience, prophetic vision, half of you guys here probably, and women probably want to be prophets someday. Well, look, prophetic vision, and artists, a lot of artists here, the owner of this place, trying to develop artistic culture, artistic awareness are no longer needed to establish an understanding of the most secret causes of personal and social processes. McLuhan in, I think it was the Playboy interview, he said he learned from Joyce, Eliot, Pound, and Lewis, and Yeats the identity of the creative process. The identity of the creative process. So, personal and collective. Next. Mere electric speed-up makes X-ray awareness natural. Any administrator today is aware of his environment as a universal teaching machine. Was Pritchard aware of that? I can't pronounce the new... university president, the interim guy.
110%, Bob, 110%.
They know that, right?
Right.
Yes, because they're anticipatory. They don't tell the students that. They pretend they're dumb. George Bush is going to win because he pretends he's dumb, but he's still dumb, and he knows that dumb is the image to communicate because it's a post-ESP world. He's not going to be a prophet. Kansas knows it. Kansas Gnosis. Gnosticism in Kansas.
Show me. Well, that's Missouri.
Yeah. That's Missouri. Okay. Languages as a technology of human extension may have been the Tower of Babel. Now, that's odd. Isn't the Tower of Babel associated with language? He might be trying to make some fine distinction. By which man sought to scale the highest heavens. Languages as a technology of human extension may have been... Wasn't the Tower of Babel language?
Yes.
Why is he saying may have been? He's careful. By which man... he doesn't have a point of view. by which man sought to scale the highest heavens. And then this continues. And today, computers hold out the promise of instant change of any code or language into any other code or language. He's saying this in the 60s. The computer promises, in short, by technology, the Pentecostal condition of universal understanding and unity. This quote in Understanding Media, isn't that the end of the first section of the chapter on speech? Isn't that quote in there?
That's the beginning of Christianity.
The thing is that's the one that a lot of people thought McLuhan was a utopian when he said that. They didn't know he wasn't writing it. The book was writing it. Language was writing the book. Okay, next. Now this guy Hoskins, I was explaining why the environment was here. McLuhan explained the technological formal causes, and Georgia Gomelsky explains pop culture content. But the reason I'm here is due to Dave Neufeld. Dave, would you take a stand up? I am here. Thank you, Dave. Stand up, Dave. The guy's a shot. He was in McLean's magazine. Go look at McLean's magazine, the July 1st Canada Day issue. They say one of the great 10 heroes was Broken Social Scene, who happened to be here too. But Broken Social Scene had the courage to stick Dave in the front of the picture. His mother was shocked. I mean, he is on the honor roll as a great Canadian. But it's really because he created me. Dave, take another bow. Please, Dave, stand up. Come on. The guy is shy. Your picture's out, Dave. You can't hide. Come on, Dave Neufeld. He did it. Dave Neufeld. There he is. Go ahead.
He saw it in purple.
Bob Marshall, folks. Bob Marshall. Hoskins. Wayne brought this up at the panel here yesterday. Electric Church and Consciousness. Is Hoskins a priest? See, it's my own thing. Projection, right?
He was an interviewer for the Listener magazine.
So he wasn't a priest, like that later guy that you translated?
No.
No, okay.
Interviewer from the Listener magazine.
Okay, in England. He says, in 1970, there's a bunch of stuff before this, much like what we've read. Now, are you here predicting? Are you prophesying? Are you trying to say something historical or trans-historical? Are you trying to say something that lies beyond history? McLuhan says. Now, if you notice one little thing, his full name is Herbert Marshall McLuhan. So you have HMM. His favorite joke was, why does a bee hum? Because it doesn't know the words. And he used to say that you become your name, but is a phatic gesture. Phatic communication is the key to understanding McLuhan. The reason Bush succeeds is he understands phatic communication. So do the rap artists. They started Fat Farm, PHAT, in 1992 in New York City. Fat! Trans-historical, blah, blah, blah. Well, I think that we live in post-history, in the sense that all past that ever were are now present to our consciousness, and that all the futures that will be are here now. Tell that to the Futures magazine, which in 1980 had their first conference, and they named him the world futurist, or the honorary futurist. That was when he couldn't speak. He was going to be dead in 7 months. But I don't think the futurists knew he said that. That all the futures that will be are here now. In that sense, we are post-history and timeless. I think we'll end at that point. There's a bunch of other quotes that wrap up and relate to the present I gave out later after an indefinite discussing with three spirits, Mac, Frank, and James. They're sitting there waiting. We have a woman named Glo on the phone, lives near London, and we're now going to talk to them. And after I ask a few questions and they give their answers, then we can have questions from the audience. Now, what's interesting about this, I've been doing this with Glo since the summer 2002. We did it mostly through instant messaging. She just showed up one day, didn't even know who McLuhan was, and it was an interesting story, but I went along with it. Basically, Mac said, Bob has talked to a friend of mine through another medium, and I'd like to talk to him through you. And she just had this natural ability to see ghosts. Had done it since she was a kid. They floated around, never told anybody other her family. So this ghost started talking, and because she found out that I was the person that the ghost was referring to, because I had talked to his friend through someone else. And a few weeks later, seven sessions later, Frank showed up. Then a little while later, James showed up. So you have three guys who've been doing it. Now, we've done this on the radio in L.A., and you can go online and see it, Radio Alchemy Show. So Glo is sitting there. These three guys have been practicing, rehearsing. Now, what they do, because they know this is going all over the world, to all intelligence agencies, they generally don't talk verbal platitudes. They do scenes. They do symbolism. They do mime, Wayne. They mime. And they, because iconography, pictograms, the symbols they use are normal objects, are understandable to any culture, then that's the way to communicate a new kind of ESP. So here we go. This distance, Barnaby?
Good.
Glo?
Yes.
You guys all can hear her?
Yeah.
Pretty clear?
Hi, Glo.
They're saying hello, Glo. Say hello back.
Hi.
Now, Glo, Jim, Frank, and Mac are there, and usually when we do this, when we go on the radio, they have already set up some props or scenes. Can you tell us, I assume that's happened, what have they presented to us?
Well, before you actually called, I had Frank was on a unicycle.
Glo, not Frank. Oh, yeah, it is Frank. Sorry. Frank. Is it Frank, Jim, and Mac? Is that their names?
Yeah.
Great. Sorry, I'm in trance. Sorry.
Okay, Frank was riding on a unicycle bicycle, but the actual wheel of the bicycle was in air, so he was riding around on this to start with before you called me. And then I couldn't hear much of you, so I take it that's what he was kind of getting at. Now, currently, they all have, this is very weird, I've never seen this one before, but they have like a, you know, like a German stein that you drink out of, the actual, it's a stein, isn't it? Yeah, that's right, but you know the lid part?
Yes.
Well, they all have those on their heads, and they're flipping up and down.
German mugs. Now, I'm just getting a more clear position. Did everybody hear the first scenario? Remember, you have an English accent, Glo, so just talk a little slower and keep it loud. It sounds perfect. Could you? Did everybody get the first?
Yeah.
No, the mugs, but before that.
Yeah, the unicycle.
Who was
with
on
an
the
ear?
Unicycle?
Frank.
Frank. Okay, Frank's on the unicycle, and they all got mugs on their heads.
Yeah.
Okay, I got you. I have to translate this, so. Yeah, okay, go ahead, Glo. So what about it? What's that mean to us?
You interpret.
Yeah, okay.
Do you want to ask a question?
Okay, so there I got three mugs, upside down.
No, it's just the tops of them, you know, the lids?
Yes, the lids are on their heads.
Yeah, like hats, and it's just flipping up and down.
And one of them is on a bike. Is it moving?
But the wheel is an ear. It's like a giant ear.
What is?
The wheel. The wheel part.
Is it a giant ear?
Yeah.
Oh! That's tremendous. What we have here is, I sometimes think of these three guys as replaying the Cabaret Voltaire, was it, the Dadaists did in 1916? The bicycle was a revolutionary medium in the turn of the century. All right, freed up the women to get out of the home, and that would be a visual instrument that was responding and balancing the kinetic proprioceptive action then to the acoustic effect of the telegraph environment. So they're taking us back 100 years, which is where we begin the process and lead up to now. We've aged a trillion years. So that's my adaptation. My interpretation is not the rule. It's just what I'm going to say to keep it going, because it gets them to react. You guys can interpret and tell us your interpretation later. But I see the bicycle and the ear as the effect of the telegraph environment if we use McLuhan, because the telegraph newspaper was visual. And even though you read the newspaper, the mosaic items of the newspaper was not a book page, and that was due to the simultaneity effect of the telegraph making the instantaneity of the newspaper page acoustic in character, quoting McLuhan. So they want a question. First question is,
Marshall McLuhan, what you doing?
Marshall McLuhan's not there, but that would be later.
I thought it was channeling.
No, that's top secret. It's confidential.
I thought it was channeling.
No, Glo's not channeling. She has seen three ghosts. One calls him Self Mac, the other calls himself Frank, and the other calls himself Jim or Jane.
First question, any one of them? Will there be a UFO sighting over Toronto in the next 6 months?
Okay, I'm just waiting for them to present the answer to me.
Yeah. On the radio, Glow is very good. She sighs, licks her lips, comes across in the studio and the radio. Very sensual what she does. She's not doing it right now. Very good. Fatty communication. She fills in the sound gap. But we're just getting warmed up, and as it gets roaring, she'll be licking her lips. It's sex for Glow. Sex.
I think the thing that, they're all pulling out their points of just to say a wider area. Perhaps over a wider area.
Oh, over North America. Will there be a sighting over North America? Is that what you mean?
Yes.
Okay.
But, obviously, sometimes there are things happening, but there's no one there to observe them. So there might be a sighting, but no one might be there to see it. That's what he's expressing. He's kind of closing his eyes, saying, if you've got your eyes closed, you won't see it.
Who's saying that?
Matt.
He's right. That's the right answer. Thank you. The next question is there any mind control vibrations? We're beginning in the underground topics. And my audience is interested in these themes, or when I did have an audience once in Toronto. Is there any mind control vibrations coming out of the CN Tower zapping the citizens of the new metro area?
He's holding a bucket and a big sponge. He's washing S down. But only the outside of it, not the inside.
Of the bucket?
Yeah.
And what
he's washing S down, the other person, Frank. He's washing Frank down with a sponge.
He's wiping Frank down with a sponge?
Yeah.
Interesting. Is Mac or Jim doing that?
Mac.
Now, you know, at the beginning you could think we scripted this, but if I could show you the transcripts of the instant messaging, you could see the times. Every 20 seconds, new input. Either I respond or Glow responds, they respond. And why would I write in all those time things? So this is happening, but...
I'm kind of in the middle of the house, in the study.
The rest of the family is asleep.
Yep.
And so in the main room there, they're there, visible.
Yes.
Is McLuhan in his chair? Remember he used to always be in the lazy boy chair? No, not McLuhan, Mac. Mac. Is Mac in his chair?
He's not, no, not the moment, no. It's standing.
I have McLuhan in my mind because it's a festival of McLuhan.
Sure, right? I understand.
And
can we ask a question, Bob?
Not yet. It's overground. We've got much time. I mean, I'll do three. Not very good questions, I admit, but we're just beginning. So the sponge... somebody sponged Frank down.
Yeah.
So that is a metaphor for the cleaning of the known content that comes out of the CN Tower or the hidden content, the subliminals.
Outside. He's saying outside. He's expressing the outside. The surface is...
Are people made smarter by the vibrations or whatever is cleaning them?
No, definitely not.
Definitely not?
No. It's like fuzziness.
Fuzziness?
Yeah, like a clear signal that has interference.
Do you see how sponge relates to that? You, Bo.
Me? Oh, personally?
Yeah, does that relate? Isn't cleaning revealing?
Yes, I suppose it is. Yeah, cleaning the signal.
Ah, they're cleaning it to alter it for an effect.
Yes.
Okay. The third question would be,
are they masturbating?
That, we'll come to that. The our topic here is ESP.
Okay.
And I'm presenting you as old-fashioned ESP. I've known through other sessions we've done that they consider that technology, what we call second nature, is merging with first nature, ESP is more of a first nature interplay. We've got the electric environment simulating ESP, and this is creating an interesting convergence of dimensions in physical and astral and technical. Could they tell us what is the effect of that on humans today?
Of
the simulation of ESP and the McLuhan vortex that he discussed.
Okay, they're kind of bringing it together into a, it's like a compressing a wall, and it's green, it's like jelly, it's like a jelly ball, and they're squashing it together, and they're trying to get inside it. It's like more like a channel rather than a wall. It's not solid, although it's full. And they keep trying to get inside it, but they keep getting pushed out of it. So they're just trying to get inside it, and they can't get into it. They keep getting pushed back out.
And they are trying to, all three, and the jello wall just to manifest it in your room there.
Yeah, they're trying to get inside it. It's like, I'm seeing the wall not as in...
That's a sponge. They are trying to get, you know, like be sucked into a sponge kind of thing.
Yeah, but the wall is not, it's kind of parallel to me rather than, you know, I'm not seeing a wall straight up in front of me. It's sideways, not sideways.
At an angle, obliquely.
Yeah.
And so that... If the dimensions are technical, first, second nature are emerging, then it's created a new environment that people feel the need to get inside of, but they don't know where the inside is.
Well, they can only get inside for brief moments, and then it's like throwing yourself at a rubber wall. You know, you kind of bounce off. It's like being pushed out of it. It kind of pushes you out. You can't stay in it for long enough to...
Right.
Okay, that makes sense to me. All right, first question. What was it? Masturbation, or did someone else have the question first? What?
I have a political question.
Okay.
Will there be a terrorist attack in the United States before the election that is engineered by politicians?
Did you hear that, Chloe? I'll say it. Will there be a terrorist attack before the election in the United States and engineered by the politicians?
Okay. Like they start to tie Frank up and tape his mouth up.
Whose mouth?
Frank.
Okay.
They got sat down in the chair and they're kind of binding him up, and they stuck, tape over his mouth, and they're looking around him as well. It's like they're looking. Okay, come on, guys, give me a bit more.
They're looking around him
they've
taped him up.
Find something, but it's not there.
So that means the terrorist is not speaking. So the CIA or somebody has captured the person going to do it, and they can't get the information out.
That would be one interpretation.
Right.
I don't think they give them much here, are they? I don't know. I think Frank wants to tell us the answer, but the other two aren't going to...
Frank wants to tell the answer, but the other two, who are not Americans, don't want to...
Oh, too.
So,
on the other end there, who are these three guys anyway?
Let's ask that. Who are these three people, or entities, or spirits? Why do they do this to you, Glo?
Okay, all right. But guys, why do you do this to me? Old friend pens and books at me and...
Throwing pens and books at you.
Books at me. Oh God, yeah, everything. Just communications, just telephones, computers. Oh, you name it, everything.
They want to communicate.
Yeah.
To who? To who? Through you? To who?
Mac is holding out his arms and he's like opening his arms and he's trying to open his arms wider and wider. So
everybody.
Yeah.
Does he nod?
Sometimes, but not now. Smiling.
He's smiling.
Yeah.
Now, what was the masturbation question? No, I mean, who asked it?
Yeah, I just want to know what kinds of, relationship they're engaged in with each other.
The question is, what kind of relationship, with a sexual angle?
Not necessarily.
Yeah, what kind of relationship do you people have? Though, she did say masturbation earlier, so maybe that applies. No, no, what's the relationship they have with each other?
Oh, with themselves?
Yes. Is it erotic? Is it...
No, it's friendship. They're holding each other's hands.
Friendship.
Yeah, friendship.
Do they have any people on there that are in their zone that are not their friends?
Well, they try to avoid them.
Would that be the astral bureaucrat that comes occasionally and won't let them tell us certain answers? That has happened. The guy with the clipboard.
It's like looking over their shoulder. If they see someone coming, they look any other way.
Ah. Okay. Next question.
What's the next big medium?
This question is, what's the next big medium? Well, we know that's you, Glow, but what's the next big medium?
Okay, Shania, is opening a box.
Whoa.
It's like some kind of... They're like insects, but they're made of light.
The box is...
Inside it, there's like little creatures.
Yeah.
But they're not made of solid kind of matter. They're made of light.
Nanobots.
Someone says nanobox.
Nanobots.
Does that mean anything to them? Are nanobots light?
That's like showing me just a segment out of a circle. So that's part of it.
Yeah, that's only a segment of the whole thing, the nanobots. When is the time? Is this in 10 years? 20 years?
Given in 7, so...
7 years. That'll be during Hillary Clinton's administration, right?
Yeah.
I'm from New York, so I have these images in me. Does anybody, the nano, whoever asked that, more about that? What?
Hybrid genetic technology revolutions.
You were asking if the box relates to that?
Or if the insect that's glowing with light, genetic...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Is the insect that's glowing as a light an indication of genetic hybridization?
Well, that's
I
just see a tangent. That's going in a tangent to what he was...
He says that's a tangent.
Yeah.
So is this new medium, is it a communication medium, or does it transform our bodies, do something to pollution? What's the purpose of this medium? Well, that would be accessing the past and the future?
A time.
No, it's like the present, but...
A present?
Yeah, like acting the present, but in a different direction. If that makes sense. I know that doesn't make sense, but that's...
A different angle on the present.
Yeah.
This machine will give us an access on the present from a different angle.
Yes.
And would we be little light beings, or is that their symbolic way to show something we can't visualize or comprehend? Or is that actually what the thing looks like?
Okay, he's wiggling his little toes. So an aspect of us, part of us.
Part of our what?
Part of
us. Part of ourselves.
Ourselves.
Part of ourselves. Well, the wiggling the toes, that's part of tactility. So is it accessing the, what McLuhan called tactility was not a sense, but it might have been the etheric bodies. Is there some kind of etheric energy involved with this?
Now the other guys are taking his mouth up and tying to the chair.
Who are they tying to the chair?
Mac.
Who? Now they're getting to tell the story. In other words, we're asking Mac, And I ask them this question, and the others won't let them answer.
No.
Oh, you're agreeing with me. When
yes.
you say no. Okay,
yes,
good.
Yes, I am agreeing.
Great. Now, see there, we have an image there, the tying up. Now we see it means something. They're making a story. You're going to tie up the other guy. Why are they suppressing each other? Now, the question about Michael Moore?
Yeah, is Hillary going to name Michael Moore her vice president?
Nah, let's not talk about that.
How do you maximize your time in the Jell-O wall?
Ah, good question here. From Linus. You remember Linus on the...
Yeah, hi, Linus.
Hello.
Yeah, Linus says, how do you maximize your time, was it?
Yeah.
How do you maximize your time in the Jell-O wall?
Okay, yeah, that's a good question.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, how do you stay in there? Use the other box?
Okay,
I gotta just prepare and
I'll really answer this one. Okay, and you signal two. Yeah, two.
You can definitely
another two here.
Who, the guy with the tape on his mouth?
Yeah, no, they've untied him then.
Untied him, okay.
They're acting for me anyway. So both Max and Frank here are both putting their heads in to this wall. Okay. Okay, and actually, they're talking to each other inside it. I can't hear what they're saying.
Inside the Jell-O?
Yeah, but they I can see that they're speaking to each other, they're communicating.
So speaking helps them stay in there.
Yeah, and it's making it wider as well. It's growing sideways.
So one can't dive into this wall in a solipsistic, narcissistic trip. You have to go in and engage in communication to stay in there.
Yeah.
How's that for translation? Yeah. Humans love to talk.
Right on.
So there's the archetypal need for talking and emphatic gossip to stay in tune and enter the new form. So, question.
What do they talk about when they're not talking to us?
Ah, well, they, all last summer, they were playing in Glow's Garden. And they dance around, and after we did the radio session in April, I called you when we were off the air, and I said, what are they doing? And they were sitting around a table, right, a card table. You remember this?
Yeah.
And they were really concerned in evaluating what had happened, right?
Yeah.
They seem to... So that's one instance that they talk about how they perform after the performance is over. But this question is general. What do they say to each other when they're not talking to us, is the question?
Yeah.
And excluding Glow? Well, Glow has to see it. But what, can you tell that what how they talk to each other when you're just observing them and they're not really addressing it to you?
It's just like a normal conversation like we have. You know, they'd be talking. Sometimes they wouldn't necessarily, you know, be able to hear them. But I can see that they're all talking to each other. So they'll be discussing something.
What are they talking about?
I mean, sometimes they deliberately cut me out so I can't hear it.
Sometimes they cut you out.
Yeah.
So this question, he's saying, let's ask him, what do they talk about? If there is a more general thing when you're not hearing, what are they talking about? Is there something on their minds, or they just talk about millions of things?
They point at you. They
talk about me!
Yeah!
Yeah. Very good. I didn't set that up. Okay? But,
case closed.
Talking about me. Now, I'll tell you an interesting thing is that often in the sessions, they will start doing imagery and Glow doesn't know it, and something I did a week before shows up in their imagery. And then after the imagery, a week later, I'll be doing something in New York and the imagery will point to what happens to me. But we, with the camera woman here, Andy, you remember Glow, you posted the last long communication from about the dead dove? 2 days
yeah.
ago?
Yeah.
Well, we went to a gallery, the De Leon White Gallery, on Sunday night, I think it was, and we went up there, and the whole scanning nature lab thing, or art form, is a dead dove.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's what happens. But is there a reason they talk about me?
Just in what we do, you know, in relation to what they're doing and you're doing, you know, they bring things from, you know, from both sides. Into what they share as well.
So that we've talked about the chart before, but I handed out a nice copy of the chart. They probably discuss whether the chart is relevant or not. Sometimes enthusiastic about, sometimes they're not, right? Let's ask them that. They talk about the chart?
They talk about everything.
About me?
Everything, you know.
About me?
Yeah,
everything about me?
Everything.
About, they see me and my wife, you know, what we do, privately? They talk about that? No? Yes? But the thing is that they, since we're on the website, we're doing a lot of stuff with Bon Echo's site. We have a lot of activity going on around them, so I was the catalyst for that website. So in that sense, when they're talking about me, they're talking about what we're doing on the website, right?
Yes, everything. All kind of... they just tell me like a drop, you know, when it hits a piece of blotting paper and it just goes out, spreads out.
Blot of acid on a piece of paper? Or liquid?
Yeah, just liquid. Right.
Yeah, liquid going on a blot of paper.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next question.
George,
yes. Didn't you do one?
No.
Okay.
Who, this is to Frank, who would have created more dread at your suggestion?
Well, that's Greg.
Yes.
He's the host of International Connection.
Right on.
He took over my show, which was started by Dave Neufeld, and Greg is the after effect of Dave Neufeld. So what was the question, Greg?
Who would have created more dread at your suggestion? That's to Frank.
What suggestion, though?
It's something that Frank would know.
We don't know who Frank is, Greg.
I know. We're going to find out who Frank is.
Okay. So, okay, say it again. I have to get clear.
Who would have created more dread at his suggestion?
Okay, Glow, the question is addressed to Frank. Who would have created more dread at Frank's suggestion? They're going to have to use ESP on this one. What?
He's putting some headphones on, plugging into something.
Okay. So, the immediate thing is that he listened to something. That's what created the dread at his suggestion. Who was
it? Shaking the headphones. Shaking out of me, like...
Shaking the headphones.
Yeah.
But they're on his head.
No, he's taking them off, he's like...
Shaking them.
Yeah, he's shaking them out of me.
And... The question
that's
was...
An excellent response, Bob.
What?
That's an excellent response.
It is, Greg? You know what it means?
Yes, I do know what it means.
Brilliant.
Yeah, explain it.
In 1987, Frank Zappa did an interview on radio with Howard Stern. During the interview, Howard Stern asked Frank if he had a male child, what Frank would suggest for it to be his name.
Yeah.
And the name that Frank suggested, as you all know, Frank Zappa used to suggest crazy names or gave sort of strange names to his child, his children. Frank Zappa then said he suggested Mordred as the name so that Frank would pull out headphones would suggest something to do with radio.
Well, how's that got to do with Mordred?
Mordred, that's the name. Mordred.
Oh!
I enunciated it more.
Wow, now he really tuned in here because Greg... when he was listening to my show, he loved the Howard Stern interview. He was obsessed with it for years, right, Greg? It's a key point in his listening experience on the old International Connection show and my show. And Frank knows you're obsessed with that. But we're not saying this is Frank Zappa, but somehow you're tuning into Frank Zappa. Is Gail Zappa in the audience? So, if you're not in here, we can say Frank, but...
People
won't
listen to radio ever.
That's the paranoia on my chart. You'll see the radio section. Thank you, Frank. You see, paranoia is in the radio section, right? So radio creates dread.
So it's dreadful to them, but it's really disguised as dread.
Yes.
So
restate the... I'm a semi-trans, Greg, so just restate the question again so remind me of how accurate that was.
Who would have created more dread at his suggestion?
Radio! That's why he says not absolutely free, kill ugly radio. Very good. Okay, that makes sense.
Yay.
Next question. Did that make sense to you people? We going too fast?
No. Why is this festival happening now in Toronto?
We'll get to that one. Who, there was one back there.
Dave's
got a question. Now, Dave asked good questions. We had a seminar with the Evergreens, the other greatest medium in the world, and Dave asked about AIDS. It was in September 1988. And we found out how AIDS was made because Dave asked the question. It was at the end of the session. Now, let's see where Dave's question leads. What is your question, Dave?
My question is there a question that we should be asking?
Ah! See, Dave, he made me. I glow. Dave, the great Dave Neufeld, who made Bob's Mini Ecology Squared and the song for that video we showed earlier. Forgot the question, Dave. It's hard to do this. What?
Is there a question that we should be asking?
Oh,
we're not asking.
Yeah, is there a question that's addressed to all three? Is there a question that we should be asking that we're not asking?
Okay.
See, do they hear? See, they hear your head hear this. They don't hear me.
Yeah.
See, they hear her head hearing this inside her. They don't hear me.
Yeah.
They start performing right away. They're inside her.
Okay, Mac is, he's drawn a circle behind him, like a flat one, as if he was on top of a chair. He's drawn a circle and he sat down. So
he drew a circle and sat down on it.
Yeah, so he wants to make the point of be aware of what you're sitting on.
Okay, well, me?
Does that make sense? I mean, you know, you would tell us that.
What'd you say?
You interpret that one.
Okay.
You know, but he's...
Is that it? That the answer?
Yeah.
Well, what's Mac say?
That was Mac.
Oh, well, you said Frank.
That's the question we should be asking. What are we sitting on?
What are we sitting on?
Yeah.
What are we sitting on?
Okay, and they don't know. Tell us the answer.
Okay.
Could it be the ball? Bob? The ball?
What ball?
Remember the ball I told you about?
No.
The ball in front of the apartment door.
Well, why would we be sitting on that?
Well, it's a circle, so I was thinking ball, and we're sitting on it, and I haven't asked it.
Okay. Right. Oh, yeah, we have to ask that question, right?
What's their favorite dog right now?
Wait, they're working on this answer, right?
Yeah, sorry, I'm just trying to focus.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so Greg, he took off his headphones and shook them. That's tremendous, isn't it? I see what you mean, Greg. That was the right answer. What?
Better than I expected.
It was the right answer. Jeez. You tend to believe glow with good marks like that. You know?
No, don't believe me.
Oh, well, we believe
anything.
Believe them, then.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I want to interrupt.
Okay,
cut
them up. Lights.
More lights.
Yeah. Like blue lights. But these are like, not round, you know, like light bulbs. They're more the kind of pointed ones. They keep changing. There's like a whole weave of them, like an over-the-top Christmas kind of thing. And they're putting them up on the door.
Putting these pointed blue lights on the door like it was Christmas.
Yeah, they're blue ones and they're red ones.
And so this is the, what was the question? This is the reason...
What are we sitting on?
Oh, this is what we're sitting on? We're sitting on points? Cones? The tension of existence?
They're hanging them over the door. They're like, you can see through the door.
Yeah.
But the lights, they like hung all the lights in front of it. They haven't turned them on.
So our lights are not turned on, and we're sitting on something that's getting in the way of going through the door? We heard a cliche in the background glow. It said, we're only using part of our reality.
We're only seeing like, the point of
a
cone.
We're only seeing the point of an iceberg or something, of a cone. Do they nod at that?
It's showing a fingertip.
Showing you a fingertip?
Yeah.
Why do they have to communicate like this? I mean, why don't they just tell us in verbs and words? What's the point of showing us a bunch of lights in the door we can't see and the lights aren't on? What's the point of this? Yeah, it is different, isn't it?
They give you a ladder, you know. But
they're giving us a ladder.
Another
ladder. You know.
So,
They're giving you what you need to get where you want to get. But they're not going to give it to you. You have to get it yourself.
You have to work for it.
Are they showing... Those are cliches. Are they showing what it lays up against, the ladder?
The other senses are tired.
The other senses are tired, glow, says someone.
Sorry?
So the other senses are tired is an interpretation of what we've achieved so far.
Partly, Matt is saying. Partly, that's an aspect of it.
What are the other senses?
the Stein hats on again now.
What was that?
The Stein things on their heads.
Oh, they're back on their heads?
Yeah, and they're flipping up and down, but they've got steam coming out of them.
Wait a minute, Wayne. It's very exasperating, sort of, but I find if I stay on, people can handle it. More comes. This is irritating. They're not telling us anything, are they?
No, this is great.
Oh, is it great?
It's great.
That's some enthusiasm here.
That's right. We're mesmerized, Bob. We're mesmerized.
Are they saying we're emphasizing too much of one thing or something?
Dave, the genius, just said, are we emphasizing too much of one thing? By sitting at one point.
Ah, there you go. Next question, then.
Okay, and he's drawing a long, thick black line, and then he's making big circles along the line. So you're looking at points along a line.
Crop circles.
That's a question about crop circles.
And then he's putting an arrow on the end of it, too.
An arrow?
Yeah, so it's just like you're looking at points in one direction.
Well, you know, there was an old medium that had the symbol of the arrow was the mind in action. But the circles are spiraling along it.
Yeah.
So taking that tradition, the arrow is a mind in action, it is going through circles that do something else.
Okay, yeah, he's drawing arrows off each of the circles. He said he's making a chart of.
He's making a chart?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Okay.
How many arrows are there?
There's one from each of the circles. Hold on, okay.
Five circles? If it's my chart, it's five circles.
No, he's got more. He's got seven.
Okay.
But they all go to one thing, and he's drawn it with a very thick line square or rectangle, and it's got another line around it.
What question is this answering?
You asking me?
Yes.
Oh.
Is there a question we're not asking?
We're still talking about the question we're not answering? Asking? Seven circles.
Seven circles of hell?
Seven circles of hell? Dante? Seven wonders of the world?
Seven chakras.
Seven chakras?
Seven lights hanging in the Drake Underground?
Seven lights hanging in the Drake Underground?
Seven planes of existence?
I don't know, but he's in the rectangle that he's drawn, he's just putting his hand in it. He's putting his hand, like, palm face down in the rectangle.
Which is off to the side of the arrow with the circles?
Yes.
So are those basic shapes, right? Triangle, line, and circle?
Yes.
Rectangle? So he's laying out the basic geometry, and that's what to us?
School.
Notes from the underground.
Physical universe.
Is that the physical universe?
Okay, he's just showing me an arrow and a bow, and he's shooting upwards.
Ah, he's got a bow. Shooting upwards, is the circle still on it?
No.
So it's something separate.
An actual physical one, you know, like a bow and arrow.
Right. So yeah, the line with the circles and the rectangles are some dimension, and then we shoot upward.
Shoot an arrow to the air, fell to earth, I know not where.
You shoot the arrow to the earth, I know not, fell to earth, I know not where.
Is it Star Wars?
Is it Star Wars?
What is the arrow pointing at?
What is the arrow? Let's really bombard them. What is the arrow pointing at? What day is it?
Oh, take it easy.
Take it easy,
Bob.
Did we get the point?
Did we get the point?
Are we going to get it?
He hasn't shot it yet.
Hasn't shot it yet?
Yeah, he hasn't shot the arrow yet. He hasn't set the point yet.
So he's in position.
We're still painting the picture here, I think.
So he's laying out a picture. And who's doing this, Mac?
Yes.
What is Frank doing?
Just looking at me.
What is James doing? Now look, you know, she's not making... How could she make this up? Well, could she make this up? What do you think? Could she make this up with this speed?
Could we all get our own point
That's right.
Do we all relate it personally?
Ask that. Do we all get our own point from this?
Where's the arrow going?
It might need all of you to understand it.
Beg your pardon?
He said he might, he's holding his hand up, saying like representing all of you, might need you to all of you to understand it.
It might need all of us to understand it?
Yeah.
Well, that's the internet, right? Everybody, here comes everybody. James Joyce, everybody joins
in
now.
Yeah.
They nod at that?
Yeah, here comes everybody.
They're communists. They're Democrats.
They anticipate others to sign.
They believe in the sharing of knowledge.
Anticipating.
It all works.
It's all good.
So while you're watching them, you know they're going to do more, or you're not sure, and you're just waiting.
No, I just sitting there watching.
And you know something else is going to happen.
I don't know that for sure.
What? No, I mean, do they finish?
Well, they're kind of waiting for you, because I can't concentrate on both things, you know. So I can either listen to you, or I can kind of focus on that. So
he's still frozen in the pointed position of the arrow to pull it.
No, he's kind of holding it down now. He's kind of, you know,
he's
just kind of waiting.
So our questions are pointed. We're asking him to point in a direction, and the reality is a bunch of circles going in many directions and along a line, but the line isn't pointable. And so we're asking him to shoot in a particular direction.
Okay, yeah, yeah. But the arrow's walked in there to a rectangle that he put his hand in.
It's aimed at the rectangle.
Well, the arrow, the original arrows that pointed off, that came off the lines from the circle.
Right.
Okay, that went to the rectangle that had his hand in, and then he went to the arrow.
Yeah. Then he went into shooting position.
Yes.
So the line is an arrow with the circles on it.
Okay, he's pointing in different directions with the kind of bow and arrow now. Like, which direction are you going to shoot?
In other words, he's not sure how to respond to what we're saying. You know, he could shoot in any direction.
So ask about crop circles then.
So, what is the meaning of the crop circles? We know the Buddhians are making them. That's been proven. By open-minded people, right? For open-minded people. What are they trying to tell us? And I know the answer to this question, Glow, so they better be careful.
Okay.
They're probably trying to do what he just did. Crop circles are trying to point an arrow alongside the arrow with the circles on it, going in the rectangle where the hand is a sign of tactility, so where the hand of man, humans never, where the hand of humans never set foot.
Do you think he's answering your questions before you've asked them?
And sorry, what?
Do you think he's answering your questions before you've answered them?
Yes.
That's what I meant. Did he try to show the dilemma of the Buddhians making the crop circles?
He's saying no.
So what are the crop
circles? Something else.
What are the crop circles trying to tell us?
Okay. All right. He's pulled out one of his eyes. He's got this ball, you know, the eyeball in his hand, and he's.
He's got his eyeball in his hand.
Yeah, and he's drawing a picture with it.
Drawing a picture with less visual space, right?
Yeah.
And we were talking, we started with a big ear in the first image. So he's saying that we're a bunch of visually biased people here. And he's been using visually pointed metaphors for our bias.
Yeah.
Ah! You get that? Yes. So we got to use other modalities, other sensory clues to the questions.
He's